I want you to close your eyes and imagine getting into a brand new truck or an SUV for just $20.
Well, it could happen to you with the Kids Kids Car Contest, thanks to the Ancira Auto Group.
There are five great vehicles to pick from. Last year, Stacy drove away in a brand new Buick Enclave.
And the best part is that our charity, Kids Kids, is going to be a big winner too, because every dollar goes to help us send children facing life-threatening or life-altering conditions on an unforgettable five-day adventure to Disney World.
Visit carcontest2024.com to find out more and how to get an entry without purchase.
Once again, get your entries now at carcontest2024.com. And thank you so much for supporting Kids Kids.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yay Networks.
13 has been my lucky number for a while. Like, it's always a sign of good things to come for me.
This is 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast. Breaking down every song, every Easter egg, every era, and every theory. Hosted by the biggest Swifties, Nick Adams, Anna Casiejos, Amy Nichols, and Lacey G.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Taylor.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Taylor Swift.
Woohoo! Happy birthday.
Of course, December 13th, 1989, Taylor Allison Swift was born.
What an iconic day in history. History. The music industry was born on that day. Oh my gosh. I feel like I celebrate Taylor's birthday more than my own.
Can I tell you first? Sorry. We didn't start the show like we normally do, so I'm a little thrown off.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, my name's Nick. Wait. Welcome to 13 of Taylor Swift Fan Podcast. My name's Nick Adams.
I'm Anna.
And yes, we're celebrating Taylor's birthday. So you celebrate Taylor's birthday
more than my own. Which says a lot because I'm a Leo. I do love my birthday, but I also love Taylor's birthday. And this has been a very exciting few days in the Swiftieverse. A lot has happened in the days leading up to Taylor's birthday. I mean, not on purpose, I guess. I don't know.
Taylor has a reason for everything. She made all these events happen.
I mean, it's true. She's a mastermind. Where do we even begin?
Directors on directors.
Yes, director Taylor Allison Swift. Well, first of all, very excited too that she announced that she's going to direct her own movie pretty soon.
Which is great.
And she wrote the screenplay. Yes, so she's going to direct an original screenplay written by herself.
And there's no other details that have been announced.
That's pretty much all
we know. They just announced it and her team confirmed it. It's being produced by the same people that produced the Academy Award Best Picture winners, The Shape of Water and Nomadland.
Yeah.
So she's got some heavy hitters behind her. And nothing else is known about it.
What, if you had to guess what genre?
I'm going to say buddy cop movie.
Shut up.
It's going to star Kevin Hart and
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock, and they're going to be driving around in a car trying to find some sort of foreign jewelry thief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bejeweled will be the theme song.
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
I'm going to guess it will be some sort of drama.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's going to be like a young adult thing, like a high school. Set in a high school, young adult. Romance, love, heartbreak, or if it'll be an adult picture.
I would guess, because again, we know absolutely no details about this, but I assume that she would do something in like the 19, 20-year-old range. Because she even said in the Variety Directors on Directors thing, which we'll talk about here in a second, that like that is such like a formative age, especially when it comes to like heartbreak,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if she's going to focus on heartbreak, but here's what I'm thinking. I think she would obviously do so fantastic in the drama genre. But I also think that Taylor Swift has the ability to bring back the magic of like an early 2000s rom-com.
You think she does?
I think she does.
Because they have to be funny and witty.
I think.
And they have to be very charming, yes, and heartfelt.
Yes, but I think she does. She has been telling stories and telling romantic stories with details and stuff her entire life, her entire discography. She's been storytelling. And when it comes to a relationship and with the friends and with the details and the time of year and stuff, I don't know. I think she can do anything, and I'm going to support anything that she does. She could do a horror film and I'm there, which maybe she will.
Where all the killers in the horror films are her exes.
Well, there you go.
Slasher John Mayer.
There you go. But
Chainsaw
I'm really,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm wondering when we'll get to see this. Like, do you think this is something that she just started working on and they just decided to announce it? Because she's going to be on tour all next year.
Right. So they're not going to film it until the end of next year.
Unless
maybe.
This is something that she already did.
No, they wouldn't have already done it. No way. That's too big of a secret to keep, to like already make a whole movie.
That's true.
So I'm going to say we're going to see it in 2024.
End of 2024.
Fall of 2024, we'll see it. They'll film it early 2024, so just in time for award season.
Yes.
2024. Now, will she do every song on the soundtrack? Is she going to do one song for the soundtrack? Will she do any? Is that too much?
That's
is that
really
too much of herself on a project where she's already the director, the writer? Is she going to make this a big, elaborate ordeal and put a song on it? Or is she going to say, no, I'm going to let some others have
Bit of the spotlight? Maybe she helps like write some of the music, but other people perform it. Or,
right.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. Wow. She just continues to just be a powerhouse, mastermind.
In the Variety's Director on Directors interview, it's like 40 minutes long. She's talking to the gentleman who directed The Banshees of Inisherin. It's a movie starring Colin Farrell and the Gleason guy, Brendan Gleeson.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have two different clips. They're each about a minute.
Okay.
Okay. And so this first clip is of her talking about how she could not have directed a short film, a music video to All Too Well when it came out originally, 10 plus years ago. Here's what she had to say about that.
First of all, emotionally, I was just kind of, I was going through exactly what the short film depicts. And I think that time is such an incredible asset to us when we have these stories that are hard to tell in the moment, because it's good if a story is hard to tell. That means it's incredibly emotionally potent.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to tell it with perspective and truth if you're in it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that amount of intensity can be actually stifling.
Yeah.
And I think that having just the privilege of being able to tell this story, the fact that it was something that the fans wanted. This song was very grassroots. It was never made into a single. It was always just a song on the album that I loved. And over the years, the fans made it very clear that it was their favorite song of any song I've ever done. I thought that it was like the most truthful account of heartbreak and loss and grief. So exciting to kind of go through it and to be able to be, you know, in my 30s looking back, because I think there's a moment when you're 19 or 20 where your heart is so, so susceptible to just getting broken, getting shattered, and your sense of self goes out the window so quickly. And it's such a formative age.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell that story too, about sort of girlhood calcifying into this bruised adulthood.
She's so well-spoken.
She is very well-spoken. She's thrown out a lot of good movie terms, too.
I know.
I hope people take her seriously in the film world.
I know. And it's just, it's so bothersome that people have already been so critical of her just with the pure announcement of her directing. But
yeah, they already hate the movie.
There's just like a breed of people who just hate Taylor Swift, just in general. They will not give her the time of day. And it's so annoying. But honestly, they're missing out.
Like, sure, whatever.
They're missing out on some great art from one of the greatest artists of our generation.
She also went on to talk about in this Directors on Directors how she had written out an entire script to this short film, a whole script, along with the 10-minute song that she wrote, a whole script, and they filmed it. And she said that there was going to be one scene that she wanted it to be pure dialogue, where the audio of the music drops out, and they didn't know which one that would be until they filmed it all. And that ended up being a big blow up fight that they have. And, but yeah, she was like, we wrote a scene where they fell in love. We wrote a scene where they had dialogue about that first little chip in the, what is it? Chip in the glassware, whatever, chip in the glass. And she's like, yeah, it had to be the scene. And then she went on to talk about how Sadie Sink did an incredible job in the movie. She, in the short film, she had seen Sadie in Stranger Things and saw that she could definitely be perfect about being even a romantic lead and show some heartbreak. And so she talked about the scene where Sadie is just bawling, breaking down and crying. Girl, is that who she is in the film?
Mm-hmm.
Girl and boy. And talking about how Sadie is just bawling and giving just this performance of a lifetime. So she talked about how they got Sadie to that emotional state.
She is so incredible and so good. That it was a very similar thing where I had a few conversations with her about how she likes to work in those kind of intense emotive scenes. And she, I think she does a lot of prep work on her own, but she also had this song that she says always makes her cry, which is Savior Complex by Phoebe Bridgers.
Brilliant song.
Which your partner actually directed the video for.
Yep, Phoebe did. The two Phoebes.
So there's another tie. But we ended up, you know, playing that song on set, giving Sadie the room for a while. There was also sort of, we wanted her to look like she'd been crying, and the kind of body heave of that, there was like, you know, screaming into pillows and stuff, and some of that we did together and some of that was just her on her own, but we wanted to give her a lot of space in the room. So
you and her would like clear the room, scream into pillows together. Really?
And then she would do that on her own and do body work to make herself. You'll notice that her skin, you can see just the redness of, it's someone who's been crying for a while. It's that just excruciating, heaving, sobbing pain.
Wow. Taylor has such an unmatched attention to detail. Like, I mean, she has throughout her entire career, but seeing that like translate from her like songwriting and music videos to filmmaking.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
And she was talking about in how her process of directing music videos that she draws a picture, she storyboards every single shot that she films. And Anna knows this as a video editor herself, that she said that when she edits music videos, she edits them while they're filming them, like on the set. So they take a shot and then she edits the film music video right away there. But not with the short film because that takes a lot longer to edit down. But it's just pretty interesting, her process.
Her mind is just always going at like 13 times speed. But that it's also so cool to learn that about Sadie, just because she's so... Sadie Sink is going to be... I mean, she already is such a phenomenal actress and she's just going to continue to be phenomenal. Also, something important to note in this directors on directors thing, because at the beginning of the conversation, she had talked about how she's directed 10 music videos and one short, right? And then later on in the conversation, Martin kind of like brings up, he's like, oh, you've directed like 11 videos or something. And people, is he talking about 11 videos for Midnights or did he just kind of...
11 videos overall. I would say that
That's
one.
Been a lot of
because
conversation.
We've been going back and forth about when are we going to see more music Lavender videos Haze. For Midnights.
I know.
And you were saying it's possibly a Mandela effect that because I'm like, oh, this is a visual album. And you're like...
Right. I don't know if she ever said visual album or if we made
it. And I tried to Google it and I couldn't find it. Somewhere I saw visual album.
Well, we know that from like the visual teaser, there are visuals in that teaser that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
So we know that there's still
something. Why don't we have them yet?
But
what's taking so long?
I don't know. I don't know. Also, important to note that we recently got the behind the scenes video of All Too Well.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, which is really cool. See Taylor work. It was cool to see her in like director mode. I just love seeing her in action.
Do you think you could be directed by Taylor Swift? Like if Taylor was like, hey, Anna, I want you to reach for the fork in this scene. Would you be like, okay, all right, yes.
Yeah, I'm such a nervous just like individual.
It'd be tough.
It would be really tough. I wonder if it's hard for her to like cast or hire people to work on her projects that wouldn't I guess, fall apart out of just like fangirling over her, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, how could you not fangirl over, like, oh my God, that's Taylor Swift?
And you know what? What if, as the actor, you know, I would think a lot of directors, they like to have that open dialogue communication with an actor. So an actor sometimes will say, you know, I don't really feel comfortable doing that, or I don't think my character would do that. Mm-hmm. Or what if instead of grabbing the fork, I grab the spoon?
Mm-hmm.
Could you say that to Taylor?
No, because she knows.
Yeah.
She knows best.
Taylor, I need to grab the salt
no,
shaker.
No, Taylor knows best. Okay. If the punchline is, and it was my foot, then that's what the punchline is. I'm right. not going to change that punchline.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so what else has been going on in the Swiftieverse?
Gosh, there is so much going on that we have to cover in this little Swiftie episode that we're doing. Let's talk about the Shake It Off lawsuit. Okay, this has been pretty, pretty crazy. This happened yesterday. The big news was that, well, this has taken 5 years. The backstory to this is that there has been this ongoing copyright lawsuit over her song Shake It Off. Back in 2017, Taylor was sued by songwriters Sean Holt and Nathan Butler, who claimed that Taylor stole the lyrics to 3LW's 2001 song Players Gonna Play.
Players, they gonna play. And the ballers, they gonna ball. And the shot callers, they gonna call.
Right. And so that lawsuit was actually dismissed a couple years ago, but then it was brought up in a different court, and it was set to go to trial in January.
Yeah, it was a weird way that this was brought up.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was through appeals or it was just another judge.
It was like another judge or something that was like,
a jury.
Yeah, but then somewhat recently, Taylor had said in court documents that she had never heard that 3LW song. Taylor said the lyrics, Players Gonna Play and Haters Gonna Hate, were common phrases, quote, uttered countless times about her. She said, I drew partly on experiences in my life and, in particular, unrelenting public scrutiny of my personal life, clickbait reporting, public manipulation, and other forms of negative personal criticism, which I learned that I need to just shake off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously I'm biased because I'm a Swiftie, but it's true, like, Players Gonna Play, like, hate the player, hate the game. Like, that's things people say all the time.
It's a very common phrase.
It's very, very, very common. And so...
Not to belittle what Taylor wrote, but it is very common phrases that people have been using.
But to have her side that she could have very easily heard that somewhere, not the 3LW 2001
mm-hmm.
song.
Mm-hmm.
So this lawsuit was set to go to trial in January, which is next month, which is not very far away. But yesterday, as of December 12th, because today is December 13th, Taylor's birthday... Yesterday, lawyers for the songwriters and lawyers for Taylor filed a joint stipulation asking the court to just drop the lawsuit in its entirety. So the case was officially dismissed. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not really sure what went into that. If they just like agreed, like, oh, this is taking too long or what? Because if the trial was for next month, why drop it now?
Taylor gave him a little bit of money to go away.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
A little bit of money.
So... I'm predicting.
This is exciting.
At midnight, New Year's Day, she's going to drop 1989 Taylor's version.
Yeah, why New Year's Day?
I don't know. I just think it's just a fun...
Not New Year's Eve?
Or like, whatever, the first.
Yeah, New Year's. Yeah.
New Year's.
Uh-huh.
New Year's, she'll say, at midnight, I'm dropping it. Why? I have no... I take that back. She's not doing the surprise albums again, but I think it'll be...
But maybe she announces it on New Year's.
I don't know, because she needs a long promotion. For all of her Taylor's versions, she's had a long promotional
period
for it. I mean, she's only dropped two surprise albums, Folklore and Evermore. Midnight's was a very long rollout. Taylor's version of Red and Fearless, long rollouts.
That's true.
I mean, Red was like 6 months before it was released from when she announced it.
Yeah.
So she wants that big buildup because she wants the big sales. She wants to break her own records, and she wants it to be a success. So... Yeah, maybe she announces it and then it's out spring break, March or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, the reason that this Shake It Off lawsuit being dropped is very exciting because that means Taylor's now free to re-record 1989, mm-hmm. Taylor's version. Which I would have to assume, because we know Taylor works years in advance. I would have to assume that she probably already has it recorded.
It's already done. It's just,
it's because, just a matter of when to release it.
And this also goes back to all the Easter eggs that she started leaving early in the Taylor's version era. Like, she was on Colbert. She had that poster board of 100 1989 clues and Easter eggs on it. And then it just never happened. So I'm wondering if she had the big master plan and then this lawsuit, she probably assumed it would go away, but it just never did.
Yeah, maybe.
And so then she had to just change course.
Yeah.
And now we have Red, and then we have Midnights.
I do wonder how many times she's had to change her plan for re-recording. And you know what makes me very excited? The fact that there is a behind the scenes of All Too Well makes me think that there, at some point in time, sooner rather than later, I'm sure we're going to get some sort of documentary.
Hopefully.
About the re-recording process, or about like just Taylor's version, or something.
Yeah, maybe there's still, at the end of, maybe after she releases them all, there's something that's on Disney Plus or Amazon or something.
Yeah, something. There's going to be something. So that's
what's coming first.
Exciting.
Speak Now Taylor's version or 1989 Taylor's version?
Because this whole time I have been very much on Speak Now's next, Speak Now's next.
There's been a lot of Speak Now Easter eggs from her hair, her nails, her wardrobe.
The Bejeweled music video. Yeah. There's just been a lot. And I love Speak Now, so of course I want it. But then after getting this news, I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe 1989. I don't know, but it's even tough because, I mean, tour starts in just a few months. And so is she going to be on tour and simultaneously releasing these albums, or?
She's going to have to. She's going to have to release at least one Taylor's version this year.
Yeah, but so then that makes me, I have a lot of questions that I don't have the answers to. Like, is she going to be allowed to perform songs that she doesn't have Taylor's versions to? Like, if she doesn't release 1989 Taylor's version, will she be able to perform songs from 1989 on tour?
If I don't see clean Taylor's version on Midnight's Era, I'm going to be upset.
That's how I feel about Haunted.
True.
From Speak Now. So I don't know. Again, I have a lot of questions and no answers, but that's what this podcast is for.
Yeah.
Just to ramble.
What
next in the Taylorverse? Yesterday, a lot of things happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, December 12th, we got the directors on directors, like we talked about. We got the lawsuit for Shake It Off dropped. And then we also, several Swifties woke up to an email from Ticketmaster saying that they were allowed to purchase two tickets to Taylor's upcoming The Eras Tour. So we all, especially if you listen to this podcast, we all know what happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we don't need to get into it.
When the pre-sale happened for Taylor's tour, Ticketmaster, it was just so, so, so chaotic that they canceled the general sale. And whenever that was happening, we didn't know. Once again, we had more questions than answers. We didn't know. We're like, is it sold out? Who has these tickets?
Was it oversold?
Are they all just with tickets with scalpers? Like, is there going to be a way for fans to get tickets? Like, what is going on? And so yesterday, there was a new email that was sent out. And the people that got it, in the email, it said, you were selected because you have been identified as a fan who received a boost during the verified fan presale but did not purchase tickets. We apologize for the difficulties you may have experienced, and you have been asked. Oh, and we have been asked by Taylor's team to create this additional opportunity for you to purchase tickets. I love that detail. I love how, like, you know, this was Taylor's doing. Like, Taylor took Ticketmaster out back and said, we need to figure out a way to get tickets in the hands of fans, you know, because the whole problem has just been like scalpers and resale and everything. So I was online yesterday trying to figure out the pattern of the people that got these emails, because it says you were selected because you'd been identified as a fan who received a boost during the verified fan presale but did not purchase tickets. So I guess it's people that were verified from Ticketmaster, got the boost about Taylor Nation, which to get that boost, I think we figured out that it was like you pre-ordered Midnights or something related on her website and or had Loverfest tickets and then simultaneously did not succeed in getting tickets during the presale. I think that's
what it was.
And there have been people online being like, oh, I was a verified fan, I didn't get tickets, and I didn't get that email. I mean, I don't know. I don't have all of the answers.
Here's my guess at what happened. The ticket chaos went crazy. And then at each venue, at each show, there was a small number of tickets left over that were still available. Maybe it was 1,000, maybe it was 2,000, maybe it was 100 tickets, just at various places. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have enough for a presale because that would just cause mass chaos again. So they're just like, okay, we're going to pause it.
Figure it out.
And so if you have a however many verified fans from the Phoenix, for the Phoenix show, however many tickets they have, they just, you know, divide that by two, and that's how many people they can send out emails to.
I mean, I'm hoping. Watch.
So there may only be 50 people from that signed up for the Phoenix shows that got that email.
Maybe.
Whereas if it's a place in, I don't know, somewhere in Florida, maybe there was 400 people that had signed up for the Florida shows that weren't able to get through.
Or like LA where there's going to be like 10 shows at that stadium or something. Yeah, I hope that this was better planned and not like in a few days we'll get another email or another thing from Ticketmaster being like, oh my God, we exceeded expectations.
Well, it did say that you'll be able to purchase it. Like information on when to purchase it is coming at a later date. It's going to be staggered at various times throughout the days based on which venue you're trying to go to. So it's not just going to be all at once.
Well, you know what's interesting though? Like basically the people that got these emails, they were like, oh, you've been selected or whatever. And then they were given price ranges where they could select, like if they'd be okay with getting tickets like $79 to $200 or $79 to $500. Mm-hmm. And then it had the service fee for how much each ticket would be. Ridiculous, by the way.
Sure.
And the more expensive the ticket, the higher the service fee, which makes no sense to me. What is a service fee?
Yeah.
I don't know. Back in the day, it was because they had to like print the tickets. Because what is it actually now?
If the service fee is $50 for the $100 ticket, what are they doing differently for the $700 ticket?
Exactly.
It's just a digital, anyway.
A whole separate.
I mean, they're just charging a percentage.
A whole separate conversation. But I did see a TikTok video yesterday of a girl that was pointing out like the fine print at the very bottom of when you select like the price range that you're with, that you pick or whatever that you're comfortable with. Mm. Basically, the fine print said like whichever price you agree to, like you agree to pay whatever is in that range. Like if you select $79 to $500, you are okay with potentially being charged $500 plus a service fee times two.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't sound like they could pick where the seats are.
Right.
Like it more so sounded like, oh, here are the $500 tickets that are in section 107 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I saw some people being like, okay, but that's kind of, granted, there is no answer. There is no solution for everybody to be happy because this has just been such a mess in general. But the truth is somebody would be comfortable paying $500 for a floor seat, but not $500 for, you know, an upper bowl seat. But it's possible that if they select 500, they're going to get that upper bowl seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But regardless, overall, it is very exciting that, you know, Taylor and Taylor Nation and Ticketmaster are trying to figure out a way to get these tickets in the hands of Swifties.
Sure.
Like overall, that's the bigger picture. So that's very exciting.
What else is going on in the Swiftieverse?
In the Swiftieverse, the last thing that I have here for us to mention is that since today is Taylor Swift's birthday, we are doing a fun giveaway.
Yeah, we are.
On our Instagram. If you go follow us at the 13 podcast, we wanted to celebrate Taylor's birthday along with the 1989 or the Shake It Off lawsuit being dropped and the fact that Taylor was born in 1989. So we are giving away an autographed copy of Folklore along with 1989 TS sunglasses.
Very cool.
Very cool.
All to one person?
All to one person. Okay. It's a little bundle to one lucky Swiftie. So you can enter on our Instagram. You just have to follow us. Follow the little description that we have there. It's like tag two friends and let us know your favorite song. You get a bonus entry for sharing the post. Since this is a Taylor birthday giveaway, it's only today.
So it ends
at midnight tonight, and the winner will be contacted by us via Instagram, only from our account. Do not be fooled by anybody pretending to be us.
Totally.
please.
So we're really rewarding the super Swifties who are fans of our podcast and of Taylor.
And of Taylor.
Because it's today only.
Today only over on our Instagram. You can enter that. And the only other thing that I want to remind everybody is that today is still Tuesday, so we do have another episode dropping today besides this little emergency recap Swiftie of things of the Swiftieverse.
What came out today? I don't remember what it is. Okay, so we're talking about the Eras Tour. Okay. I don't remember. Yeah, we have a new episode. I'm going to leave all this in.
Oh, what?
Yeah, we have whatever's up. It's posted right now. I just can't remember what it was.
Is it posted already? I
don't probably. Thank you, Lacey, for editing those.
Yeah, go check out our other episode that we have.
You know, I got to say, this entire time we've been talking, we're recording in a little bit different situation right now. Anna's in a bar stool height chair. Mm-hmm. I have a regular office chair that's at its lowest setting possible. So Anna's roughly 4 feet above me.
Yeah.
And I haven't been having to look up. So you've been speaking down to me this whole time.
Good.
How's it feel to be the man today?
Yeah, finally. Finally.
Okay, well, that does it for this episode of 13 of Taylor Swift Fan Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again. Hit up our Instagram for ways to win a signed Folklore CD and some 1989 sunglasses. Official Taylor Swift store merch.
Yes, yes,
sunglasses,
yes.
From the 1989 collection,
yes,
that she dropped a few months ago. So check out our other podcasts. If you haven't yet, subscribe to this podcast. What are you doing? Leave us a good review. Leave us a 5-star rating. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to 13, a Taylor Swift Fan Podcast. Subscribe for free and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.